Romans 3, which we're finishing up. We spent the last 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks that I taught on this awesome section, Romans 3, 21 through 26. And just the sum of that was just, he's trying to make this point that every one of us have sinned, that we've all sinned, how we all fall short of his glory. Because of that, we need justified by a Savior. And he did that because he wanted to be the one who is just, and he wanted to be the justifier. So that's Romans 3, 21 through 26, and like I said, it's an amazing passage of Scripture, and that just kind of leaves us with a lot more questions, just like that's kind of what Romans is. He answers one thing, and it leaves us with 10 more questions. But in 3:27, he says, thinking about all that, about all this being about Jesus, how we all fall short of glory, how we have to have him as the justifier. 27 says, then what becomes of our boasting? And specifically when he says boasting, he's meaning like to the Lord. Like, what am I going to say to the Lord, you know, when I give account for what I've done? What's my boast going to be? Is it going to be that I did these things? What do I have to boast about if he's saying everything I'm doing is falling short of his glory? It says, it's excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. And 28 is really his summary of this whole thing. He says, for we hold, we believe, that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Okay? That's what we're clinging to. In all these teachings, we're clinging to one is justified by faith, and that's complete apart. It says apart, like separate, completely. Completely separate. I'm justified by faith apart from works of the law. He says, or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the uncircumcised by faith and the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then overthrow by the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. And that's just more Jew-Gentile talk. We've talked about that several times. I want to get to chapter 4, and he says, okay, what shall we say then? What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? In other words, he's saying, I want you to think of Abraham, which all these, he's writing to Jews, and so he knows this. He knows, you know, Jews know about Abraham. I want you guys to think about everything that Abraham's done, all the good deeds, all the good works, how he's the father of so many, how he did so many great things. And he's saying, he pretty much just asked this question, what did Abraham gain by his works? He says, for if Abraham was justified by his works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. And so he has plenty to boast about. He has plenty of things that he could say that he did. He has plenty of things. You know, if it was by works, he has plenty of things. But before God, he has nothing. And 3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. 4 says, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And the one who does not work, but believes in him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing. Let's go back to 4 again. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. That's the main difference here. I want you to think about, what do you want from God? Do you want a gift, or do you want a paycheck? That's really what it's saying. Do you want your walk with God to be based on God is good, and so he gives to me, you know, a gift that I don't deserve, you know, that I didn't earn? Do I want to have that kind of walk with God where he's giving me things by grace that I don't deserve? Or do I want to get a paycheck from God, which looks more like, God, I did this, I deserve this from you? And the problem with that is, it also means, okay, God, I didn't do this. What do I not deserve from you? So you can't just have one without the other. I wrote on here just a stock market example. I don't know if I can make that make much sense, but it's like I'd be buying stock in myself. Is really what that would be like. And the thing with the stock market is, you know, if you buy stock in something, you don't just make money when it goes up, and then if it goes down, nothing happens, you know. If it goes down, you lose money. And if I'm buying stock in myself, you know, I got to realize that I am constantly going down. It's not like I can just go to God and say, I deserve good because I did these couple of good things, you know. I've got to factor in everything, and that includes all the bad that comes with me. And so if I was a stock, I'm just like all of you, you're constantly going down. And so you need to really think about how big a deal this is when we're tempted every day to walk according or walk under the law. You know, it's so tempting. We've had it from birth. It's part of sin nature, you know, to walk under law. You know, it's in the back of all of our minds, and we have to fight it every day. But it's a curse. It's a curse to walk under the law. And you have to fight every single day to walk according to grace and allow God to give you gifts, you know, and allow to know that because he's good, he's pouring things out on you don't deserve. So here's one of my biggest ones, and I try to make these things practical, but my thought is always God owes me, you know. God owes me something. If I think, you know, I've been doing pretty good, I've done these couple things, I haven't been sinning as much, God owes me. And if I ever say that, and if you ever say that, I know you say it, you know, when you get there, what are you walking under? Are you walking under grace or are you walking under the law? Every time you say God owes me something, you're walking under law. And everything that comes with that, you know. So you need to think about that. Walking under the law is a package deal. And it's not just the couple good things you deserve. It's everything you deserve. You don't get little pieces of it. Five again says, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And it's a blessing to you. That's what he goes on to say, actually. Just as David also speaks of the blessing to the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, and he quotes the Old Testament where he says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count as sin. Again, that's just verifying, again, that it's a blessing to walk under grace, and of course, it's a curse to walk under the law. The biggest deal here, who gets the glory? That's really the whole thing behind this. I want you to think about, not only is it a curse for you, and not only is it a blessing for you to walk under grace, but who gets the glory? And I was thinking of it like, oh, I work for Jonathan, and if I work, say I put in 150 hours in a week, you know, and I don't even know if that's possible. Let's say I did that, and I brought home this huge paycheck, and I come home and I show my wife, and I said, look how big this paycheck is, you know, and look how many hours I worked, look how much I deserved here. Who's going to get the glory there? Not counting God, you know, who's going to get the glory? It's going to be me. It's going to be, look at all the great things I've done, and I'm, you know, Katie is going to give glory to me. Thank you, Levi, for working so hard. You worked your tail off. You deserve this. Okay. Now, what if I just did my normal 40-hour week, and Jonathan, because he, in his kindness, he gives me a $10,000 bonus for the week. And I come home, and I show my wife, and she sees 40 hours on the paycheck. Who's she going to give glory to? And it's going to be Jonathan. You know, that was so nice of Jonathan. You know, he gave me this, you know, he gave us that. We didn't deserve it. We didn't work any harder. We didn't do anything extra to earn it. He just did it to be nice. Jonathan gets the glory. And my whole point is the giver gets the glory. That's the most important thing in all this, is that do I want to work and try to get things from God and live under law, and ultimately I get glory? So every time I can say, well, you know, why do you have this blessing in your life? Well, it's because I did this. You know, if anyone ever asks me, Levi, why are you so blessed in this area? Well, it's because I did these things right, and I did this, you know. It's all about me. The giver should get the glory. I mean, how awesome is it that I can sit here and not deserve anything and allow God to give me gifts in his grace, and every time someone asks me now, why do you have this, Or even if it's even if I'm going through bad times and I'm getting through it, and someone says, how are you getting through that? You know, maybe it looks like that. How are you getting through that? I say, it's not because I know everything, and it's not because I'm smart, and it's not because I have all this endurance. It's because I have a giver, you know, and he's giving to me right now something I need. He's given me mercy and grace to get through this time of need, you know, but it's him. Do you see why he set it up this way? And do you see why it's good that he set it up this way that we can't earn? But he gives, you know, and we all we do is turn around and point to him. Say, he gave it, you know. That's what this is about. That's why he made us. You just ever wonder, why am I like this? You know, God, why am I like this? That I have to go to you every single day. I have to need you, you know. He didn't give me anything in myself that lets me do better, you know. I want to do better. Every day my cry is, I want to do better, you know. And he didn't make me that way. He left me in this place where every day I have to go back to him, day after day after day after day, and said, I need you today, you know, so I can get mercy from you today to get through this thing I'm doing today, you know. And so every single day when someone asks me, I can say, only because of God, and really mean it, you know. So if I go another 30 years in this Christian walk, hopefully I'll be at a place where I'm even weaker. That's what, honestly, you know, I don't really hope that, but deep down, that's what I hope for. I want to, let me be more weak, you know, that I would really mean it more when I say God gets the glory. You know, right now I say it, and I know it, and I kind of mean it. But when I'm 60, let me be like, I really mean it, you know. God gets the glory for this, you know, because I've learned how weak I am. Every year I'm more weak. I've said that several times in this class, you know. Let's skip 9 through 12, 13 through 15. You know, let's skip that too. I just want to read 16. It says, that is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And that's it. That's why it depends on faith, so that the promise may rest on grace. And you have to fight to choose faith. This is the fight that's worth it for every single one of you. I know it's every day. I know it can be taxing. I know it wears you out. But every single day, the one fight that's worth it is your fight of faith. And not just to stay in faith, but the fight that says, I'm going to walk according to faith. I'm not going to walk under the law today. I'm not going to do this thing anymore where I'm earning from God. I'm not going to... Let me get ahead of myself a little bit. Kind of what I want to do, I know we're in Romans, loving Romans. There's so much here that this is actually like an intro to it. I'm going to cover more. What I want to do is I want to take like a sidestep, and I want to make sure I have time to do it. So I want this to be practical. And we're talking so much about faith and not walking under law, not walking under works. I want to give you a really, really, really practical, narrow, specific teaching. And here's something I notice, guys. I notice it more and more the older I get, and especially right now in my life. Every single day of my life, okay, and your life, I notice that there's, you know, there's your normal life where you're kind of coasting, you know, that happens every day, where you're just normal things, you know, and there's every single day also includes, for me especially, you know, specific moments where you just feel so overwhelmed with stress and just burden or a hardship or a trial or something not going right, you know. Don't you all have that at least once in your day, every day? Something, you know, doesn't go perfect. And you also have, right, you know, these moments where you're like, man, you know, you kind of feel overwhelmed with a thankfulness and a gratefulness, and man, things are going well. I just think every day has at least one of those moments. But the problem with that is in me, and I think it's a problem in you, every single time, things are going good, and I get that moment of, man, things are just going really well right now. What I want to do is I start thinking back, and I want to start saying, things are going really, really good, and it's because I've been doing well in this area. I've been, you know, I do this. I've been reading my Bible more. I've been, you know, and I start thinking back about what's this secret formula that I got myself into that's allowing things to go really well. And it might, it probably includes God in that formula, but it also includes Levi's doing good at this, he's doing this, you know, it's so much about me. And also, when things are going really, really bad and I'm stressed and burdened and I'm like, God, you know, why are things going like this, you know? And it's never, it's almost never an immediately turning to God. It looks more like, man, I sinned yesterday and this is God getting me back. I really think people do this all the time. I do it all the time. I seriously start going back to every single sin. I trace back what sins I do today, what sins did I do yesterday, this week. And I'll trace things back to my teenage years, you know? And I'll think, I'm going through this bad, and it'll have nothing to do with anything, but this bad stuff's happening because I just screwed up so much. And man, what am I living under? Living under law. Living under works. I'm living under myself. I got that stock in myself again instead of the Lord. And it's just so crazy. Learned some lessons. Man, I hope I have time for this. I learned some lessons in golf yesterday. There's a couple things, just to try to make my point. For one thing, I get paired up with Ty Moore. We went with like 8 people, and they're all like professional golfers, Andy and Jonathan. And me and Ty are like the jokes of the group, and we get paired up together. But just to make my point, okay, Ty, I don't know much about golf, but this, if he's wanting to hit it down this path right here, Ty will aim this way. And not only that, but he cranks his club around, so the club's more like facing this way. And seriously, and he somehow can do this and hit it straighter than I can when I'm lined up perfectly, you know? Dead serious. I'll be lined up. I feel like an idiot, you know? I'll set my club on my toes to make sure I'm pointed the right way every single time, you know? And I feel stupid doing it, but I just want to make sure I'm lined up, and I'll hit it, and I'll hit it straight. And he can hit it straighter than I can. And look, my point is, how often do we do this in life where I get this jealousy? It's like, this guy's doing this. Look how, you know, he doesn't deserve this blessing he has. You know, that's kind of how I think of it. Ty can hit it straight and do the most idiotic things in the world, you know, and I can be doing everything just right as far as I know, you know, and shake it over here. But we do that in life, right? Where it's like, I look at Sean, it's like, not really, but it's like, Sean, you know, he's sinning. He's not walking in wisdom in this area. But God's given him some kind of blessing. Why does he have that and I don't, you know? You see what I'm saying? It's just, it's because I'm so ingrained in walking under the law that I'm putting the law over him, and I'm putting the law over Becky, and I'm putting the law over myself, and I'm comparing all of us, and I'm comparing how we do under the law according to my eyes, and I'm thinking, what, you know, why does he have more than me? Why, God? You know, why did they get that and I didn't? And also, here's another golf lesson. We actually recorded these swings, you know, and we got Tyler's got the slow-mo going, and they're picking apart everything, and I don't really even know what they're talking about. But it's crazy to me that this game of golf, that I can have the exact same ball and the exact same tee, and I measure it up every single time so it's the exact same height off the ground and the exact same club, and like I know I'm pointed the exact same way, and one time I can hit it perfect straight down the middle, and one time I hit it like 3 yards this way, you know. But seriously, you can do everything, you know, it seems like just right, but then, you know, they can slow-mo it, you know, and they can show you, here's a video, Levi, here's what you're doing wrong, you have too much of this, and, you know, anyway, you can kind of pinpoint, even though everything else seems like it should be right, you can pinpoint exactly what it was. But here's the thing about this lesson, is I want my life to be like that. You know, when things aren't going right, I want to look at my life, you know, and look, watch it back in slow-mo and be like, here's where I screwed up. I have this thing going wrong in my life right now because, you know, 3 days ago I did this. It's what I want my life to be like. My life's not like golf, you know. My life's not like a golf swing. I can't backtrack and trace it back and figure out exactly what I did wrong because my life isn't a formula, okay? There's not a formula where Levi is X and the good things he did is Y and the bad things he did is Z and we add them all together and what it equals out is how much blessing he gets and how much cursing he gets. There's no formula because you have grace and grace wipes every single one of those things out. Walking under law, really, is walking according to a formula. And that formula does not include grace. You know, you got to know that. You got to know what it really is to have grace in your equation, every single one of the equations of your life. Grace wipes that stuff out. And although, there is blessing for obedience. I'm not saying there's not. And there's also discipline for disobedience. There is. But included with that is also this thing where Jesus says, there's going to be trouble, you know? That has nothing to do with you. There's trouble designed for every one of your days apart from you. That's true. You know, there's good things that are given to you every day that you didn't deserve. And so we're sitting here trying to figure this whole thing out, you know? We're trying to figure out why, you know, why them and why this and why, you know, why is this happening? And there's no way. You can do your best to discern it. God, am I doing anything wrong? Let my heart be clean before you. Here, you know, but at the same time, you can't figure out everything. So what I want to do, my whole point of this lesson is I want you guys, turn to Lamentations with me. Gonna have a hard time finding it. I think it's after Jeremiah. Right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. I'll finish up with this. Here's what I can tell you. I haven't got this all figured out yet. I'm never going to be able to give you the equation that I'm talking about. But the whole big thing is, instead of the second things start going wrong, instead of turning inward and examining yourself so much or trying to figure out everything, you know, why. Here's what you should do every single time things are going bad or things are going good. Lamentations is awesome because this guy is admittedly getting punished for his sin. He starts out 3:1 with, I'm a man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He's driven and brought me into darkness without any light. And man, he just moans on about this. You know, he's like, I deserve it, but here's everything going wrong with me. But 3:19, he says, remember my affliction and my wanderings and wormwood and the gall. 20 says, my soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Okay, but 21, here is your answer, okay? Here's exactly what you do every day, okay? Every day, you've got to learn this lesson. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So first thing he does, he says, I call to mind. And call to mind is another way of saying remember, okay? He's saying, I remember. Here's my first step. I stop and I remember. And when I remember, it produces hope. And 22 says, what am I remembering? He says, first of all, you need to remember the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, okay? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I mean, so in the middle of your hardship, that's what you do. You stop and you actually say this to yourself so you'll remember it. You stop and say, God, your love hasn't ended. It hasn't ended. It's still here. It never stopped. It never failed. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And what it means by that is he's saying every single day, he's going to keep giving you mercy for that day. That continual ritual of God, you know, is never going to come to an end. Every day, without fail, no matter how much you deserve it, no matter how much you deserve to not have mercy for that day, it's never going to fail that he's going to give you mercy, okay? He's given every single one of you guys mercy for Sunday, March 15th. He has. He has mercy for you today, not for March 16th, you know. For today, he has mercy for you. So his mercies, his giving of mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So faithfully, over and over, because his name is faithful and true, because that's who he is, faithfully, every day he comes and he gives you mercy. New mercies every single morning. So what's that look like? I was trying to think through what it looks like for me, and it's it's really hard to think through. You know, we're renewed day by day is what the Bible says. And 2 Corinthians says even though this outward, you know, is wasting away inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. You know, that day by day, that's really, really powerful. And I really think it's a word for you guys right now. That's why I'm going here with it. Every single, you got to focus on today. And so when Sean here, and he's sitting here, and he's getting stressed out at work, or something bad happens, look, this year, I mean, some of you guys are going to hear news of someone dying that you loved, and some of you guys are going to hear about, you know, some disaster that really affects your heart. And some of you guys, every single day, you just have little things going on that just stress you out so much or make you angry or make you disappointed or make you feel unloved. There's trouble apportioned to you. It's part of it. And, it really stinks, you know. But instead of saying, you know, I just want you to break your mold of sin. So saying, why God? That's our first question. Why God? Why me? Why is this happening? Let grace throw all that stuff out. And I say, you go to God and you say, man, I remember your love is still the same. I remember that I have mercies that are new every morning. And that means this morning you got up and you gave me mercy. You knew exactly what was going to happen. You knew I'd hear of this trial, and you gave me mercy for this thing. And so because I know that and remember it, I'm going to you, and I'm going to draw mercy from you because you already had it for me every day, okay? And so my old pastor used to say, why do I need to be filled with the Spirit every single day? It's because we leak. You got to understand that, you know? Every morning, you need to get up and say, I need God today. John Piper says, why do I have to go and get fueled up again by God every single day? Piper says, so you'll go to the station, which is God, you know. So you'll go to the giver, you know, that we're talking about, and that he would get the glory. And so, look, here's my example, and I know I'm out of time. Out of all the millions and millions of blessings that I have working in my life right now, one of the bad things a portion of me right now is back pain. And before you guys freak out, you know, and say, oh, he doesn't have faith to be healed, just let me teach my lesson real. You know, look, every day and continually getting worse is back pain, you know. And it's almost embarrassing now. I feel like I'm walking around like, it's like something's, you know, well, something is wrong. But, you know, I just feel almost embarrassed walking around. I feel like I'm walking around weird. And it's just every day, it's back pain. And so, and I've prayed about it, and I've asked the Lord, and I've had people pray for me. And I could do one thing. I could say, okay, God, why do I see one person get healed and not me? Why have I seen other people get prayed for, have hands laid on them, and get healed, but what about me? I'm not going to do that this time. You know, instead, I'm not going to say, you know, God, what did I do to not deserve this? What did they do to deserve it? Try to figure it out and try to go do what they did so I can get from God. Instead, I'm going to wipe all that out. This is just an example. You guys apply it to yourselves. But I'm going to say, I have back pain today. And every second I have reminded me of that. You know, every time I stand up, I have memory. You know, it reminds me of that. And I'm going to say, God, I don't care how much pain I have today. You gave me enough mercy to walk with it, to be thankful in the midst of it, to look at you and still have hope that when you want to heal it, you'll heal it, you know? Or if not, you know, you'll give me mercy to walk with it and to be thankful to you and to love you and to praise you. But he gave me enough mercy, and this is just a silly example. You know, he gave me enough mercy to walk with whatever trouble was apportioned to me for today. He has it, you know. I'm still going to believe and I'm still going to pray. But until then, I'm walking with the mercy that he's giving, and I'm going to let it drive me to the Lord every second, you know. Every time I start to get frustrated about it, I'm going to say, thank you, God, you're giving me mercy right now to get through this. I'm going to let it drive me to the Lord, you know. That's what it's here for. And so, again, some of you guys have disaster and distress and trouble and worries and kids to raise, you know, and family members to worry about and work you don't like. You all have this stuff. And I'm telling you, let it drive you to the Lord because he has mercy for it right now. Okay? I'm out of time. So, amen. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, let us draw from you in our time of need. Let us work with the supply that you give. Let us be people who every single day go to you to be renewed. In Jesus' name, amen.